Es khazal ze khnesh mit sapach khnesh khoshag mit vam yehudim sech khoshab es darf mit zayn. Mor says rab zayn in the name of Asi, in the name of Yechon, in the name of Chanin, in the name of Rabbi Rumnus said that Rabbi allowed him to move a shovel that was used for burning incense, even though it still had ashes inside, and the ashes, the chayra served no purpose, didn't have in mind to use them, and therefore the muktzah, but still, Rabbi allowed him to move it on Shabbos. Rav Zarius, Rav Asi, Hakad Rav Yechanan have said this. The Mishnah says that on Shabbos you're allowed to carry a basket that has a rock in it. Rav Yechanan said that's only true if the basket also has fruit in it, so that the basket now is a basas ladavar mutter ve'aser, not just a basas ladavar aser. So you see, the Rav Yechanan doesn't allow moving something that's only a basas ladavar aser. How can you allow moving the shovel when there's muksa ashes, when there's only muksa ashes in it that by itself? Rav Asi said the cases where there's still left some leftover incense in it that you can use for smelling, for pleasant fragrances, and therefore the shovel is considered to be a basas ladavar hamutar ve'aser, and that's why it was mutar to move. Those leftover incense, it has significance, and therefore it's considered to be more significant than the ashes. Abaye asked, this story it was said to have taken place in Rebbe's house. Rebbe was a Nasi, and therefore he was very wealthy. So any leftover incense that there was left in a shovel had little to no value to him, and therefore could not have had real significance. And therefore it couldn't have made now the ashes not the shovel not muktzah, just from the fact that there was some leftover incense. So how was he allowed to move the shovel? Abaye said it's no different than a shovel that's used, if you had a shovel full of wastes, human waste. So over there you'd be able to take it out because it's disgusting. So over here also you can take out the shovel with the ashes because it's disgusting. Rava asked, number one, a shovel of ashes is not disgusting like a shovel of waste. Number two, a shovel of ashes is actually covered because So again, Rava's two questions are, number one is that a shovel of ashes is not disgusting. So that would not be a reason that we'd allow you to move it. Number two is the shovel of ash typically had a cover over it. So again, it's not disgusting. So how can a bayi say it compare it to the case of a shovel of human waste? So rather, Rava says the reason why the shovel is not muktzah is because the ashes are actually being used to cover over dirt. And that's why the ashes themselves are not muktzah. And that's why the shovel itself is not muktzah either. And the Chiddush, Rebbe's Chiddush over here was that even though there were small little pieces of wood mixed in with the ashes, and those woods are really muktzah, but still, since the non-muktzah ashes are also there, and they're considered to be more significant than those little pieces of wood, therefore, it's mutter to move the whole shovel because of those ashes. Marius of Brisa seems to say that, Brisa says that Rav Shimon says that he agrees that an extinguished ner has a piece of wick in it, you're not allowed to move it because the wick is muksa. And that's true even though the lamp is also buses for the oil, which presumably is more valuable than the leftover wick, and you see the wick makes it also. Abaya says that this Brisa was taught in the Galil, where these wicks made of flax, itself was very scarce, and therefore wicks made of flax had a lot of value to it. That's why the leftover wick is not considered to be insignificant compared to the leftover oil. Levi bar Shmuel asked Rav Abban or Rav Huna bar Chiya, if you're allowed to put together a modular bed on Shabbos, they said it's allowed. He then repeated this psak to Rav Yehuda, who told him that Rav and Shmuel paskin, that one who puts together such a modular bed, would actually be chayv achatos. Gemara asked the Brisa, says if someone puts together a modular menorah, he's chayv achatos. Gemara answers that Rav Abban or Rav Huna bar Chiya said their psak with regard to a modular bed that fit together very loosely. And in that way, they follow the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel from another Brisa who says that if the modular keli fits together loosely, it's mutter to put it together on Shabbos. So up the Mishnah, you're allowed to put a keli underneath a lamp to catch the sparks, but you're not allowed to fill that keli with water because that would extinguish the sparks on Shabbos. Gemara asks, if putting a keli underneath to catch the sparks, the chayra is removing the keli from being useful on Shabbos, which we said is us earlier. The Gemara answers, Rav Huna, neighbor of Yeshua says, sparks have no substance, there's no mamish to them, and therefore the keli could be moved even after the sparks have fallen on them. Mishnah said, v'lo yitein toichem mayim ipnei shu mechaba. The chayra mission only follows Rabbi Yossi. Our stam mission only follows Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says elsewhere that it's usher to indirectly extinguish a fire on Shabbos. So the chayra our mission then is following is only following Rabbi Yossi. Where it says Rabbi Yossi's sheet is talking about indirectly extinguishing it on Shabbos. Our mission is talking about putting it there erev Shabbos. Therefore, there's no reason to say that our mission is following Rabbi Yossi. It wouldn't even help to explain that Rabbi Yossi was talking about on Shabbos. And Rabbi Ashi actually explains the Mishnah could even follow the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yossi, who would allow an indirect on Shabbos. The reason why it's usher over here is because this is a lot more of a direct way of extinguishing the fire by putting a bowl of water or a plate of water underneath. And that's why it's usher. Hadnalach Perek Kira. Perek Bame Toimnin, Perek Revi. With which materials are you allowed to insulate food on Shabbos, and with which materials are you not allowed to insulate food on Shabbos? The Mishnah says, one may not insulate with the following, with gefes, which is like the leftover pulp and the oil pressed after the oil has been pressed out, with manure, with salt, with lime, or with sand, and all these things, whether they're moist or dry, you're not allowed to insulate with them for Shabbos. On the other hand, one may not insulate with the following, meaning with straw, grape skins, muchen, which are soft materials like cotton, soft wool, or worn-out clothing, or grass, but those are only usher while they're moist, but when they're dry, it wouldn't be a problem. Murray asks, when the Mishnah says gefes, does it only refer to olive pulp or even to sesame seed pulp? I was there in the name of someone in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yane, said that someone, you don't take food that insulates and insulated and put it on top of olive pulp because that causes it to increase the temperature. But you see that olive pulp is the one that increases temperature. Murray says this is not a good raya. It could be that olive pulp is increases temperature of something put on top of it, but sesame seed pulp could be it increases the temperature of something also, but only when it insulates it. So our Mishnah could even be talking about sesame seed pulp because our Mishnah is talking about insulating it. So therefore, there's no raya from that memra.